Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Welcome everyone to the Southwest. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. So excited you've joined us for worship this morning. I just want to say, man, we're so excited to get to praise the Lord with you in this place today, as well as online. Thank you for being here. We do want to say, if you would be in prayer for our pastor, Pastor Matt, he is out sick today, and so he just needs our prayers. He's having a real rough time of it, so just be in prayer for him today. On other note, if any of you guys follow me on social media, which is probably like three of you maybe, but I came across this really, really cool reel yesterday, or maybe it was Friday, but and it just gave me some real good perspective on something that I'd probably known about for most of my life and even talked about when I was either teaching on worship or things like that. But it was a reel that talked about the garment of praise. And if any of you guys, I know that's like super churchy, right? The garment of praise, what is that? It sounds really, really churchy. So in Isaiah, in chapter 61, Isaiah is talking about putting on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so I came across this reel, and it just really, really helped me get a good perspective on it. And so the reel kind of goes, just talks about what if praise was like a jacket? Say it's really, really stormy outside, it's raining. What did you put on your jacket? The jacket keeps you warm. The jacket keeps you dry. Kind of changes your insides a little bit. Doesn't change the weather. Doesn't change the circumstances of what you're in. But what if praise was like a jacket? We put on that garment of praise. We put on our praise jacket, which if you're with me, what that is just really setting our minds on Jesus, right? It's changing our attitude, even in the midst of our circumstances, whether they be amazing, whether they be awful. Setting our eyes on Jesus and setting our praise on Jesus. What if praise was like a jacket? And we could put that on and we could choose to worship him in the midst of our circumstances. It doesn't change our circumstances. But what it does is it keeps us warm, keeps us dry. And the praise of Jesus, there's something about being in right relationship and with Jesus and our praise that just begins to change us from the inside out. It helps us to walk through those hard times. Maybe those hard times are just coming against you so hard that you feel like you just can't get out of bed. Well, I want to encourage you today, what if praise was like a jacket? What if you took your praise and you put it on? Or maybe even a blanket if you can't get out of bed. You put that praise on and it began to empower you to make it through the difficult times, to make it through the hard times, to make it through the amazing times. I want to encourage you this morning to put your praise jacket on as we begin to continue to sing the praises of Jesus, as we continue to praise through our giving, as we continue to praise through the breaking open of the word. What if praise was like a jacket? Jesus, we open our hearts to you this morning, Lord. We come expectant for you to move, Lord, because your word says where two or more are gathered, you're going to be in their midst. And so we know, Father, that you are here. For one, Lord, we bring you with us. We are the carrier of your presence. But Jesus, when so many people gather together in one accord, with one heart, one mind, one vision, when we know your presence likes to hang out in those spaces. And so, Lord, I can just feel it this morning that this is one of those spaces, Father, where people are gathered together with one heart, with one mind, to focus their eyes, their ears, their spiritual eyes, their spiritual ears, their heart, every part of their affection on you today, Father. So Lord, as we lift our praise up, as we put on our jacket of praise this morning, God, Lord, we declare that no enemy can come against us because your word says it so. When you go before us, you are behind us, you're all around us, Father, with your protection, with your guidance and direction. So come and be in the midst of us today, Lord Jesus, as we offer up an offering of worship unto you that is holy and is set apart for you only, Jesus. We bless your name this morning.
Good morning. So in 2 Timothy, I believe, go ahead and pull that up. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season. And I have a mentor named Barry Simpson, and Barry encouraged any of the guys that he mentored. He would encourage them, you need to do two things every week. Now, we're just guys, okay? Thank you. We're just guys, and he says, every week, I want you to prepare a Sunday school lesson, and I want you to prepare a sermon. Well, we're not ministers. We're not Sunday school teachers. We're just guys. He says, yeah, but you never know when something's going to come up, life's going to go a little off the rails, and you're going to be called on to step in. And I want you, I want my guys to be ready. Well, at about an hour and 10 minutes ago, I was sitting in a Sunday school class over at St. Luke Central, and Andy Hirsch showed up at the door and said, something's gone off the rails, Matt's not feeling good, and would you mind stepping in and sharing God's word? And Barry, if you're watching, this is one of those days, all right? Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I want to share with you what to do this morning when life goes off the rails and you get called on to do something you didn't know you were going to do when you got up this morning. For example, you go to work tomorrow and a coworker says, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? My mom, they just put her on hospice. Or they told me I'm going to have to start radiation treatment. When somebody pulls you aside at the school where you teach and they say, hey, listen, me and my spouse, we just split up. And I don't know what to do. I just feel so lost. How can we be ready for those moments when life goes off the rails? Because you may or may not get called to bring the message one Sunday morning, but you will be called to give a message of hope to the people in your world, probably this very week. And I want you to be ready, and God wants you to be ready. So, God, in His love, He has given us words to help us be prepared. And a lot of times we take them as, oh yeah, that's very nice. But no, He really, really means it. And we need to take His word seriously. If you've got your Bible or if you've got the Bible app on your phone, would you open it to the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy? And God is going to tell us how to be ready for whatever life might throw at us this day, this week, this month, this year, or at those around us. Go ahead and pull up Deuteronomy there if you don't mind. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is known in Judaism as the most important prayer. It's known as the Shema. And Shema simply means hear or listen. But it doesn't just mean hear. It means listen and obey. This is a prayer that Jewish followers of Christ or Jewish followers of the Lord are called on to recite daily. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I want to stop right there. And I want to ask me a question and I want to ask you a question. do I really love the Lord with all my heart? Or have I sort of dedicated an hour or two a week, maybe an hour or two a day to God, but then, hey, the rest is mine. Okay, does this bear fella, does he know what time we are through and what time we start watching football? What is it, who is it that we really and truly love with all our hearts? I was a baseball player in high school, but I will tell you that my real love is football. Not too many months ago, I was praying to the Lord, and I was a little bit frustrated, and I said, Lord, listen, you've opened the door for me to write books, get books published. We've got a podcast that's heard all over the world. We're teaching Sunday school classes in the morning with adults. We're teaching kids Sunday night at St. Luke's. We're speaking. But Lord, the fact is I don't have enough time for all the doors you've opened for me to go through. So, Lord, if you really want me to continue all these things, you're going to have to give me a little more time. And almost immediately, this is going to be a little hard to hear, okay? I'm just going to tell you. Almost immediately, the Lord said, well, let me see. When you get home from church on Sunday night, you always turn on Sunday night football. Let me see. That's 1, 2, 3 hours. And then there's the Cowboy game on Sunday afternoon. That's 3 hours. For some reason, college games seem to last about 4 hours. So that's 4 hours. Let me see, 6, 9, what are we up to now? And then there's Thursday night football, and there's Monday night football, and there's some weird game that nobody cares about on Wednesday night, but you always seem to turn it on. Bear, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you 20 extra hours a week, and all you have to do is turn off the football. Oh, Lord. Lord, you don't know what you're asking. I live in a football culture. I love football. We've been season ticket holders of the Red Raiders for... Bear, you've taught Deuteronomy 6. Many, many times. But Bear, I don't believe that you believe it, and I know you're not living it, because football is more important in your life than I am. Now, that I pray that's not true for you, but it was true for me. And right there, love the Lord your God with all your heart. My heart was not 100% on the Lord. Football was more than a hobby. It had part of my heart. And I've had to take a football sabbatical, and Carol will tell you that has not been easy, but it has been for me important. I want to ask you, what is it that has part of your heart that rightfully belongs to the Lord? What is it that has part of your heart? There was a lady that Carol and I visited a few years ago in the hospital, and she had a kind of cancer that, as they treated her cancer, she lost her sense of taste. And she said to Carol and I, as we visited with her, I can't taste food anymore. I want to die. Really? She had to come face to face with the fact that she was not eating to live. She, in fact, was living to eat. And she said, if I can't taste food, God, just kill me now. And she was furious. Well, what about your grandkids? Yeah. What about your kids? What about your church? What about... She had to come face to face with the fact that there was something besides God that had her heart. And when that thing was taken away from her, tasting food, she wanted to die. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And how are they to be on our hearts? We're to talk about them all the time. Look at what it says next. Impress them on your children. The picture here is of taking a royal seal into soft clay and pressing it down so that it leaves a mark forever. Not only are you called to love God, but you are called to love God so much that it makes a deep impression on those you are around, starting with those in your own household. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down last thing at night and when you get up first thing in the morning. I want to ask you to think about, and I understand that I'm past preaching, I'm to meddling now, I get that. Okay, but fortunately there's some distance between me and you and my feet and your toes. What is it we talk about in our home? What is it that has our conversation at dinner or in the morning or at night? What are the things we talk about in our family? Carol and I had to come to that place where we realized that we were talking about everything in the world except Jesus. We talked about what went on at school when we were teaching that day, what went on the job, things that went right, things that went wrong, chores that had to be done. But Jesus, by and large, never came up. And we had to repent of that. God says, this is what I am commanding you to do. Now, we don't have to do it, but we do have to recognize that when we don't do it, we are in rebellion to the Word of God. How can we be ready in season and out of season for whatever God sends our way, whatever circumstances send our way, whatever we hear at work in the morning, whatever we hear at school tomorrow? How can we know that we know that we know that we're ready? Love the Lord your God with your whole heart and talk about what God is doing in your life. With your children, with your family. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them. Let's go to the next slide. And bind them on your forehead. Hasidic Jews today, we just got back from Israel. Hasidic Jews today, quite literally, when they approach the Western Wall, they tie a box on their arm to approach the Western Wall. They tie another box on their forehead. You know what it has in it? This prayer, the Shema. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, the Lord may or may not have been telling them to literally tie it on their forehead and on their arm. But what he is definitely telling us is that hand you lead with in your day, that foot you lead with, that calendar you follow, the things that are on your mind. Am I number one? Or is it something else? What is it that has your heart? Further, write them on the door frames of your house and in your gate. There is a little piece of wood that has Shema written in Hebrew. that devout Jews literally nail or affix to their door. How many of y'all watch The Chosen? Anybody watch The Chosen? All right, have you noticed that every time they go in or out of a house that they do this and they touch the door frame of the house? What they are touching is this piece of wood that has the Shema on it or in it. They are saying every time they go out and every time they come back in, God, you are number one in my life. Lord, anything that is more important than you. Now, I say you're the most important, but is it really true? Is it really true? God, help me to be centered to you as I go out and as I come back in. And God, if anything has stolen my affection or caused me to look away, Lord, help me to focus back on you. I repent of those things. I said we were just in Israel. One of the interesting things about being in Israel is realizing how close everything is. For example, when you are on one shore of the Sea of Galilee, let's say the north shore at the city of Capernaum or the city of Bethsaida, when you are there, you can look all the way around the lake, including on the west side of the lake, the town of the Herodians. These are people who are Jewish in name only, but their heart belonged to the Greco-Roman culture. Well, they seem like good enough Jews. They seem okay. And they still do all the things that the Romans and the Greeks do. They're okay. Why can't I be like them? Is it really that big a deal that God be my everything? They seem to be doing okay. And besides that, the culture likes them a lot better than it likes me. Why can't I just be like them? Every day, when the people of Capernaum, where Jesus' ministry was headquartered, or Bethsaida, where Peter and Andrew and James and John came from, every day they could look across and see the towns of the Herodians and say, I could just be like them. It'd probably be okay. Or they could look to the east side of the lake and they could see the Decapolis, the 10 cities of the Greco-Roman League. They could see a town called Bet Shean, which would be somewhat the equivalent of New York City for us, maybe. Sparkling and beautiful with all the latest innovations. They even have flush toilets. Us poor little devout Jews, when we have to go to the bathroom, we have to take a stick. First century, they have flush toilets. And the two most important roads on the east side of the Sea of Galilee run right through downtown Bet Shean. Man, you go there, you're a somebody. In fact, it's believed that's probably the city that the prodigal son went to. But see, here's the thing. The prodigal son didn't just get up one day and say, hey, how about if instead of serving God and working hard for my devoutly Jewish family, how about if I just go over there and check things out? You know what? That prodigal son had been looking at all of that for years. Every clear day that he got up, he could see the city of Bet Shean. What if? And one of the things that was impressed upon us is that his heart left long before his feet left. He quit loving the Lord his God with all his heart. Let me ask you again today, who has your heart? Who has your heart? When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to you, God loves us and he wants to bless us, but he wants obedience. I want to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you didn't have to just beat yourself to death for. I want to give you good things. I want to give you wells that you didn't have to dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you didn't have to plant. But I've got to know that I have your heart. You look over here, and there's the Herodians, the people who are Jewish in name only, but their heart belongs to the culture. And then you look on this side, and they're the ones who say, I don't even care. I don't even care about those church people. I am living for me, me, me. And every day when we get up, we see both of those, and our children see both of those. And our children look at us and say, who's got your heart, Dad? Who's got your heart, Mom, Grandma, Grandpa? Who's got your heart? And what am I going to do when I have to make that choice of going to the left or to the right? Who's going to have my heart? I recently shared on the podcast that my daughter, Sarah, who's now 33, says the single most important day of her entire college career was after we moved her in on Saturday. At that time, we lived in Midland. We drove up to Tech and helped her get situated in her dorm. And let me just say how God answers prayer. She originally decided to go to Oklahoma State, but God moved in a miraculous way. And because I just don't look that good in orange. I look far better in black and white, or black and red, I'll tell you. But our daughter says the single most important day of her time at Tech was the Sunday morning before classes even started, and she'd moved into the dorm, and she got up this morning and went, you know what? I don't have to go to church. My parents won't know. She looked to one side, and there was the greater culture that said, hey, just say you're a believer. It's okay. Do what you want. And the other side that said, why even waste time with pretense? Me, 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 baby. And Sarah got up that morning. And praise God, there were some folks who had invited her to go right here in Lubbock to Redeemer Church. And she got up that morning and she went to Redeemer. And she said, Dad, I didn't hear the story for years. She said, Dad, that was the day that set the entire course for my adult life, when I had to just come to terms with who has my heart. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Let me ask you, if I had time to sit down with each and every one of you, if we sat down over coffee, which is a fine thing to sit down over, if we sat down over coffee and I looked you in the eye and said, tell me what the Lord has brought you out of. What slavery has he delivered you from? What are the things that used to hold you captive that God has set you free from? What would those be? What has God set you free from? One of the things on Wednesday night over at Central, we have a class on Deuteronomy that we've been going through. And one of the things that we talk about is, as tragic as it was that the children of Israel just kept wandering in the wilderness, what should have been an 11-day journey out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the Promised Land, an 11-day journey ended up taking 40 years. But God says, in spite of that tragedy, don't ever lose sight of the things you died to in the wilderness. Do not forget the things that used to hold you captive. Celebrate those, because if God set you free from those, He will set you free from the things that threaten to hold you captive today. Can I get an amen? Fear the Lord your God, serve Him only, and do everything you do in His name. That's what that means. Do not follow other little g gods, the gods of the people around you. What does that mean in your life? In my life, it meant I need to turn off the TV. And I need to stop watching football. Because that's 20 hours that I need to be doing something else. As I close today, what does that look like? What does that look like to be ready in season and out of season, as it says in 2 Timothy? What does it look like to love the Lord your God with your whole heart? This is something I carry around with me every single day. Everywhere I go, I carry it around. And it might seem like an odd thing to carry around. It is an obituary. It's an obituary of a man that I look forward to meeting in heaven, because I never had an opportunity to meet him in life. But somebody told me about this man, and I pulled up his obituary, and just here's the bottom line. This man named Truett Ligren Randolph, who lived in Lubbock a few years ago, he saw every day as a day that he needed to serve God with his whole heart. Well, how do you do that? I've got a job to do, Bear. So do I. Here's how he did it. He was a paper salesman for copy stores. Okay, so think about Office Depot or Staples or any of those kind of stores, right? He called on those stores. And he'd go in and he'd perform at a very high level. He was a very, very successful salesperson. But then he'd say this, and if you're writing down notes today, I encourage you to write this down. Here's how he ended every single encounter. The only thing I like talking about more than paper and office supplies is Jesus. How can I pray for you today? Let's fill in that blank in your mind. The only thing I like talking about more than blank is Jesus. The only thing I like talking about more than the Red Raiders is Jesus. How can I pray for you today? The only thing I like talking about more than my grandkids is Jesus. How can I pray for you today? Lord God, we come before you and we admit that we have not loved you with our whole heart. I have confessed to this congregation of people that I had allowed football to sit on the throne next to you in my heart and my life. God, whatever it is that threatens to divide our loyalty and to eventually conquer us, God, I pray that today that would be slain on the altar, and that starting this afternoon that we would be able to say to everyone we encounter, the only thing I like talking about more than blank is Jesus Christ. How can I pray for you today? In Jesus' name. God's people say. Thank you for letting me be here today.